Today's shiur is Masecht and the Dorim Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis at the Mishnah. If somebody made a neder at a kotzer, if we're going to use the example of the Mishnah, that he won't drink wine until the time of the harvesting, says the Mishnah, what does that mean? At shiyik yascha la'am liktsa k'tzir chitin avaloi k'tzir sa'irim. It means until the time of the harvesting of the wheat, not of barley. The Ran explains, because wheat is so much more significant than barley, certainly what he meant was wheat. Hakol fi makom nidrei. But, continues the Mishnah with a qualifying statement, we have to look at the place where the nether was made. So the Ran again explains that if it's a place where barley is important, and when somebody says kotzir, he means barley, so then it would mean barley. The Rosh defines the Mishnah that if it's in a place where most of the produce is barley, then we say when he said kotzir, he must have meant barley. Tosfos says it can't just be most of what's grown is barley. Tosfos says it has to be all that is grown is barley. And if everything that's grown, all the grain that's grown in that area, because barley, we assume that's what he meant. Continues the Mishnah. It's also another factor that we have to take into consideration in understanding the nether, is where was he when he made the nether? Im hayu bahar, if he was in the mountain region when he made the nether, so we follow when the kotzer is in the mountains. If he was in the valley, bebikav. As we know, the harvest season in the mountains is later than it is in the valleys, because in the mountains it takes longer for the produce to ripen. And we follow when he set out a kayitz according to where he was when he made the nether. If somebody said when he made the nether, ad hagashamim, until the times of rain, at shiyu gishamim, or he said at shihei gishamim, it means at shiterid viru shniyah. As we're going to learn very shortly in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, that there are three seasons of rain in Eretz Yisrael. We actually discussed these concepts already when we learned Masech Tainis, Revi Rishon, Shniyah, Vishlishis. So our Mishnah says that when somebody made a nether, that the nether should be valid until the time of the rain. According to the opinion of Chachamim, it has to be until the second rains actually begin to fall. Why the second rains? So there are two reasons in the Rishonim explain. One reason is because we always follow the middle. We always follow the average. So the second one is the middle one. Another pshat is since he used the word Gishamim, Lashon Rabim, so it has to be the minimum of plural is two. So it must be the Revi Rishniya. It can't be the Revi Rishayna because Revi Rishayna is not plural. The Rishayim also point out that according to the opinion of the Chachamim, and we'll be able to explain this a little better as we get into the Gemara in Mitzvah Shem, the second rains begin to fall. As soon as the second rains begin to fall, since we don't know for sure how long those rains will last, that's the Chacham will hold, his nether is no longer effective. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, Achigiyaz mana shall reveal. It's not till the rain actually falls, the second rains fall, but rather, and the Gemara will tell us what the date is, the time when the rains begin to fall. And as the Rishonim explain, Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion is actually a lot easier to understand. Because we know that although our Gemara, the Gemara Masechet Tainis, speaks about time when rain is expected, rain is not really something that we could 100% be sure it's going to come at a certain time. So if somebody's making a nether and he's connecting it to rain, it's a difficult nether to understand because it's sort of ambiguous. It's sort of not clear when will the nether be effective to. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, is saying that it doesn't depend on the rain actually coming. It depends on a specific date. That makes a lot more sense. We know exactly until when the nether is going to be effective. However, the Rishonim also point out that according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we have a Chumrah. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel is not really connecting it to actual rainfall. He He's connecting it to conceptual dates. And therefore, according to him, the nether will only become invalid when the second rainy season ends. According to the Chacham, as soon as it starts to rain, the nether is invalid. According to the second rains. According to Shem Gamliel, you're going to have to wait until that entire season passes. If somebody made a nether, Atshi Yifsiku Gishamim, that this nether should be valid until it stops to rain. Atshi Yitzin Nitzin Kula Divaramei, according to Ramei, until Nitzin is over. Rabbi Hudaimer, Atshi Yavar Pesach, it means until Pesach is over. And the Rishonim explain, what is the basis of the Machlokes of Rabbi Huda Ramei? It depends on another Shaila that's very relevant to us. Until when do we say the same Talamotor in Shimon Esrei? Ramei is of the opinion, in Masechta Tainis, that we say it until the end of Nisan. So obviously all of Nisan is the time for rain. We're still davening for rain. That's why you have to wait till Nisan is over. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it's after Pesach we stop saying the same Talmoter. And therefore, after Pesach is already considered that this rainy season is over. Ask the Shalm and the Dorim, the obvious question. Neither of these opinions represent what we do l'aloch l'maisa. Because we know that we stop saying the same Talmoter after the first day of Pesach. We say Tfilas Tal on the first day of Pesach by Musaf, and we no longer say the same Talmoter. So why is it that opinion, which is the opinion we follow l'aloch l'maisa, not reflected in the Mishnah? So the Shalm and the Dorim answers, interesting teretz. He says, actually, lahalocha, we agree with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that the time to mention the same Talmoter would really be till after Pesach. That's considered the rainy season. However, Chazal wanted that we should be mispalel for Tal on the first day of Pesach. Once we're mispalel for Tal, it's inappropriate to still say the same Talmoter. But that doesn't change that the rainy season really continues until after Pesach. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Hanoida Adakayitz, if somebody says that my nether should be valid until the time of harvesting, if he said it while he was in the Golul, in the mountain regions of Eretz Yisrael, which we have explained earlier is the typically later harvest, and then he goes down Lamokim, he moves to the valley, Api Shagia Katzba Mokim, and now it's already the harvest season, because in the valley the harvest season, because it's the sun beats there stronger, comes earlier, since he made the nether in Golol, has to follow the time when it's the harvest season in Golol. And so too, say the Rishonim is vice versa. If he made the nether in Amokim, even if he moved to the Golol, he follows the time of the Amokim. So we learned in the Mishnah, Ada Gishomim, Achei Gishomim, Achei Teir Revir Shnir, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer. So just let's quickly review the machloikas we learned in our Mishnah. If somebody made a nether ad ha-gishamim, and it's important to say that we're going, the number of pshatim in our Gemara from the Rishonim, we're going to follow the pshat of the Ran. Somebody said ad ha-gishamim, so our Mishnah had a machloikas. According to the Chama, it means until the second rains actually come. According to Shem Gamliel, it's not when they actually come, it's the date that they're supposed to come. Comes Reb Zera, Om Reb Zera, Machloikis Dama Ara Gishomim, Avel Oma Ara Geshem, Adzman Gishomim Komer. Explains the Ran as follows. And the way we explain the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to go very Gishmak, I hope. The Ran says as follows. Actually, Reb Shimon Gamliel's Pshat makes a lot more sense. Because rain is something that we can't predict for sure when it's going to come. Following Reb Shimon Gamliel's Pshat, that there's a date, that the Gemara Masechta Tainis that we're soon going to learn, the Gemara is going to bring down, gives. It's much easier. I know the date, and I don't have to look. Did it rain? Didn't it rain? Maybe it rained. Maybe it's going to not rain. And therefore, Abzera says, if somebody used the typical Lashon he ought to use, which is Ad HaGeshem, the Chacham will agree with Shimon Gamliel, that the Zman is the date that we expect the second rain. What happened in our Mishnah is that somebody used a lashon, a wording which is atypical. He used the words ad ha-gishomim. Why didn't he say ad ha-geshem? Why did he say ad ha-gishomim? That leads the Chachamim to say that even though normally it's the date that the rain is expected, since he used this lashon of ad ha-gishomim, we say it has to be when the rain actually comes. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Ara Geshamim, Ara Geshem really doesn't make a difference. He doesn't give any significance to that changing of wording. And whether he used the word Ara Geshamim or whether he used the word Ara Geshem, it means the date that it's supposed to come. That's how the Ran explains the Gemara. The Rosh, other Rishonim say it has to do, and we alluded to this also, if it's the Revi Rishonim or Revi Shniyah, Ara Geshamim means the Revi Shniyah, because Geshamim, Lashon Rabim, Ara Geshem means Revi Rishonim. We're not going to learn with that pshat. Meisvei, ask the Gemara. The Gemara says Masech the Tainus. Ezes Man Shel Revi'ah. What are the dates? We keep on speaking about these dates. Habechira, early date, is Begimel. 3 days in Machashvan. Obviously, this is all in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, the dates are different. Beinonis is Shiva, 7 days in Machashvan. Afela, a late rain, is Esr V'Shloisha, 23 days in Machashvan. Divrei Remeyam. Rabbi Hudaimer, Shiva is the first, Shiva Asr B'Cheshvin, the 17th, is the second, Esr V'Shloisha is the third. Rabbi Yossi Omer, B'Shiva Asr, B'Esr V'Shloisha, U'B'Chodesh Kislev, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'Kein Ha'i Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Ha'yichid Ne'Mesanin, Ad She'Gir Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The Gemara Masech T'Tainus, where we actually learned all of these dates, what is the significance of these dates? What do we need to know about these dates? So the answer, if you recall our Sugyas Masech T'Tainus, was to teach us when a person has to start fasting, if Chas V'Shalom does not rain in Eretz Yisrael. So certainly, if one, until the third date, whatever the third date is, we have three opinions, nobody begins to fast. On the third date, Yechidim means the special people, begin to fast. Why don't they fast earlier? The Rishonim say, because it's not such a terrible sign yet if the rain hasn't come, and to start making a tumul is inappropriate. But the third date is the date where Yechidim begin to fast. V'amrinan lo. And the Gemara said in Masechta Tanis, Bishlam Revi Rishonah, we need to know when the Revi Rishonah is, Lishol. Because by the Revi Rishonah, we begin saying in the Shmon Esrei, the same Talmud Levracha, again, in Eretz Yisrael. So we need to know that date. We need to know the Shlishis, for what we just said, Lesanois. When the Yechidim, when the specially pious people begin to fast, if Chas V'Shalom, there is no rain. El Shniya Lamai, what's the significance of knowing when the Revi Shniya is? Vam Reb Zera. So Reb Zera said, you know why we need to know the date of the Revi Shniya? Neither. For our sugya, if somebody makes a nether until the rain, we're saying that which rain is the rain that we're referring to? Revi Shniya. V'amina law. And the Gemara Masech T'Tainus continues in understanding that braisa. Kaman Az L'Hod Tanya, who is the author of the following braisa? Rav Shimon Gamliel Oima, Gishomim Shiyordu Shiva Yom Mezech Azeh. If we have a situation that it rains for 7 consecutive days, at the Moina Behen Revi'a Rishoyna V'Shniya. Kaman Rav Yossi. We consider it that the first and second dates have passed. It represents the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. And now there's a lot more that you have to say outside in explaining the Gemara than inside. Because the Gemara is asking a question, and I'm going to try to explain what the Gemara's question is. We just learned, at the top of this Amid, 3 opinions of how many days there are between the different Revi'ahs. One opinion had 4 days. One opinion had 7 days, and one opinion had 10 days. If we see that Rav Shimon Gamliel is now saying that there's 7 days between the 2 Revi'ahs, obviously Rav Shimon Gamliel is following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who has 7 days between the 2 Revi'ahs. That's the first point to be made. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel is making a statement, and this is the way the Ran understands what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. He's saying to the Rabbanan that even though you hold, as we learned in the Mishnah a few moments ago, that if somebody said Ad HaGeshomim, it means until the rain falls, if we will have a situation, the second rain falls, the Revi'a Shniya actually comes, if we will have a situation, says Rav Shimon Gamliel to the Rabbanan, that it rained for 7 days. We will have a situation that it rained the Revi'i Shniyah, and therefore if somebody made a nether, the nether is no longer valid. Now continues the Ranan in explaining the Gemara. What is the wording that's usually used in making a nether? Arageshim, not Aragishamim. Now we began the Gemara with Rav Zeira telling us that if somebody used the word Ad HaGeshem, even the Chachamim agree that you don't have to have actual rainfall. You just need the date. So now we need to understand what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying to the Chachamim according to Rav Zeira. Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying to the Chachamim that if it actually rained 7 days, we have a situation that the Revi'i Shniyah came. And therefore you, the Chachamim, will agree that the nether is no longer a nether. Why does he have to say that to the Chachamim? If he said Ad HaGeshem, you don't need rain. Even the Chachamim agree that all you need is the date of the rain. So if Rav Zeira is correct, that the Chachamim agree that when somebody said Ad HaGeshem, all you need is that the date should have arrived, so Rav Shimon Gamliel have to confront the Rabbanon and say that if it rains 7 days, everything is fine. Even you'll agree. We don't need real rain. He said Ad HaGeshem. That's the Gemara's question. The fact that we see Rav Shimon Gamliel confronting the Rabbanon in this way, it must be that he doesn't agree with Rav Zeira's explanation of the opinion of the Chachamim. Answers the Gemara, the obvious teretz. Hahuda Amar HaGeshamim. The entire basis of the Kasha was that the Braisa that Rav Shimon Gamliel is confronting the Rabbanon is in a case where the person, when he articulated the nether, used the word Ad HaGeshem, not the words Ad HaGeshamim. Why? Because as we explained, typically somebody's going to use the words Ad HaGeshem, not the words Ad HaGeshamim. Says the Gemara, you're right, that's what somebody's usually going to say. But that Braisa is referring to a situation where somebody said Ad HaGeshamim. Our Mishnah, and this Rav Zeira doesn't disagree with, he can't disagree with the Mishnah, says that there you have to have actual rain according to the Chachamim. And now we understand what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying to the Chachamim. The person who made the nether said Ad HaGeshamim. You need actual Revi'i Shniyah. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel to the Chachamim, if you had 7 consecutive days of rain, you had actual Revi'i Shniyah, and the nether is no longer effective. And there's no problem in maintaining Rav Zeira's understanding of the Machloikis of the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says the Mishnah, Kainim Yayin Sheinitayim L'shono. If somebody says, I'm making a nether, I'm not going to drink wine for a year. So the halach is, the Sabra Hashono, and then it turns into a leap year, the halach is Osa Bo'u Vibura. He's not allowed to drink wine, not for 12 months, but for 13 months. So as the Ran puts perspective into this Mishnah, and gives us a number of cases, and actually connects to the first Mishnah of the Perek. If somebody used the word Hashana, then certainly the nether is effective until the end of the year, and if it's a 13-month year, then the halach is that he would have to refrain from wine for 13 months. Then the Ran quotes a Rajba, and he agrees with this point with the Rajba. If somebody made a nether that he's not going to drink wine for Shana Achas, for 1 year, and this year happens to be a leap year, says the Ran, he didn't have to pick this year as the year that he's not going to drink the wine, this year being a leap year. He could have chosen next year, which is not a leap year. And therefore the Ran says, and even though pushing off the nether to the next year, says the Ran, is not really correct, because it's a problem about ta'achar, you're not supposed to push off a nether, although that's also machlokes rishonim that we've discussed. There are rishonim that say there is no issue about ta'achar on a regular nether which doesn't involve stuck or hegdish. The Ran clearly says that there is. But since technically I could have fulfilled the nether next year, which is a 12-month year, says the Ran that if I said only shana achas, the halacha would be that I only have to keep the nether for 12 months. Where the Ran and the Rajba disagree is if somebody made a nether, let's say this year is a leap year, on your Dalar Adar. Your Dalar Adar, he said, Shona Achas Miyoyim Zeh, 1 year from this date. According to the Ran, next year your Dalar Shvat is going to be 13 months later. You have to keep the nether for 13 months. The Rajba says no. Since he used the word Shona Achas, and Shona Achas, We said always means 12 months. He only has to keep the nether till next year, Yud Aleph Teves, not Yud Aleph Shvat. It's 12 months. Now, interesting Shaila, that what's the basis for the Rajbis Psak? So the Rand quotes it. The Torah tells us that if somebody sells a home in the Bote Orei Choymen, the cities that have a wall around them, he has up to a year to redeem the home. If he doesn't redeem it within a year, he loses it permanently. The Torah uses the words Shana Tamima to teach us that if it's a leap year, he gets 13 months. What do we see? That the word Shana always means 12 months. Says the Rajba, so even if he said Shana Achas Miyoyim Zeh, it means 12 months. Ask the Nidri's reason, Shlomo Kluger, a Gevaldig Kasha on the Rajba. One of the fundamental concepts we've been learning in this Masechta is Lashon Torah L'chud, and by Nedarim we follow Lashon Bnei Adam. We don't follow the wording of the Torah. So yes, the Rajba has a pasuk that by Bati Arichayma, Shana means 12 months. So what does that have to do with Nedarim? By Nedarim we follow Lashon Bnei Adam. Says the Nidri's reason, a Gevald Gevart. He says, the Torah is usually less descriptive, is more limited in its wording than we are in the way we speak. So if somebody used the word Shana, it means 12. Unless he adds the word Tamima, certainly when we use the word Shana, it also certainly only means 12 months if we didn't go through describing that we meant Ibiyar. So if the Torah uses the word Shana, it means 12 months. When we use the word Shana, says the Rajba, as explained by the Nidri's reason, it always means 12 months unless there's reason to believe differently. Actually, the lot of shilas aloch lemaisa if it's a leap year. One of the shilas that the Chasam Sofer discusses is we know that the halach is we discussed in the Masechta Yevamos and Masechta Ksubis that if someone dies and his wife is nursing, his wife who's a nursing woman may not get remarried for 24 months, because we're concerned that she'll get pregnant and this is not the child's father and won't have what to eat, the child. So the question is it 24 months or is it 2 years? Because let's see, one of those 2 years is a leap year. The Chasam Sofer says it's 24 months, not 2 years, and even if it's a leap year, she would only have to wait 24 months. If somebody made a nether, ad Rosh Adar, until Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we know in a leap year, there are two others. Which other does it mean? Says the Mishnah, Ad Rosh Adar Rishon. It means Torah Shchodesh Adar Rishon. If somebody said that his nether should be effective at Soif Adar, until the end of Adar, at Soif Adar Rishon, again we say he means the end of Adar Rishon. The Ran brings another girsa in our Mishnah, which we're not going to follow. The Ran's girsa is that if somebody says the beginning of Adar, or the end of Adar, we look at the two Adars as if they're one long month. And the beginning means the beginning of Adar Rishon, and the end means the end of Adar Sheni. We're not going to follow that here. So, Alma, obviously the Tan of our Mishnah holds, Stam the Adar, the Kamar, when somebody uses the word Adar in a leap year, he means Adar Rishon. Rishon who? Leima Masnisan, says the Gemara, it seems that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehudahi. The Tanya, if somebody's writing a document, and actually the Rajba says, from our Gemara we see that the halachas of dating documents and the halachas of Nedarim travel together. Otherwise the Gemara couldn't bring a raya from that. So if somebody's writing a document in Adar Rishon, Kais of Adar Rishon. Adar Sheni, but if he writes it in Adar Sheni, Kais of Adar Stam Divrei Meir. According to Meir, Adar Sheni is considered the main Adar, and he doesn't have to write the words Adar Sheni. Why does Rameya hold that Adar Sheni is the main Adar? So Tosfos gives two reasons. One reason is as follows. Adar is always a month that's a 29-day month. But if there's two Adars, then Adar Rishon has 30 days and Adar Sheni has 29 days. So we see that which is the Adar that's the real Adar? Adar Sheni, because it's the month with the 29 days. Adar Rishon has 30 days. Another reason, obvious reason, is that since Purim is celebrated in Adar Sheni, that's reason that Adar Sheni is considered the main Adar. That's Ramey's opinion. Yudaimer, Adar Rishon, and Adar Rishon, Kaisiv Stam, Adesheni Kaisa Tanyanam. When you write a star and Adesheni, you write it's Adesheni. So you see the Rameya is of the opinion that Adarishan Adesheni is the main other. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that Adarishan is the main other. Omar Abaye, Abaye says there's a way of explaining our Mishnah even according to Rameya. Afilu Tem Rameya. Ha de Yoda de Ma'abishata, ha de la Yoda. Their calendars weren't like our calendars. Our calendar, we can know what's going to be in 100 years from now, if it's going to be a leap year or not. In their calendar, every year they decided if it ought to be a leap year or not. Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So when the person, Rameya agrees that if somebody's making a neder and the year has not yet been declared to be a leap year, there Rameya agrees that Adarishan is the main other, because for all he knows there won't be an Adarishani. That's the case that our Mishnah is referring to. So now the question is, if the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the person didn't even know, nobody knew, there was no Adarishani yet, so then the question is, how can we say that Adarishani is included in the nether? He didn't even know it's going to exist. So the Rishonim explain that the person said, whatever the year will be, that's what I meant. Although the Karen Ira says that the question that if when somebody made a neder, the year has not yet been declared to be a leap year, is that 13th month included or not? He claims it's Machloikus Bavli and Yerushalmi. The Bavli says it is included, the Yerushalmi says it's not. Says the Gemara, this distinction between if he knew it's going to be a leap year or not, we actually see in a Braisa. It says, Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, somebody made a ned on Torah Shchaydish Adar, it's Adrash Chaydish Adarishin. Im Haisa Shana Muberes, but if it was a leap year, Adrash Chaydish Adarishini. Mechlal says, is the ratio referring to a situation, Lab and Muberes Askinen? But if it's not a leap year, there is no Adarishin Adarishini, there's only one other. Shmamino, Hard Pshitle de Mabrashiata. The first part of the mission is referring to Hadalayada. The first part is referring to a situation where the person was not aware that there's going to be an Adarishani. There, everybody agrees that what does Adar mean? Adarishan, where the person knew there's going to be an Adarishani, according to Rameya, that's the main Adar. So, obviously, there are a lot of shilas that come up when there's two Adars. Firstly, the Paiskim say, in order to avoid any shila, if somebody's writing shtar, or a wedding, and they're writing Ksuba Tanoim, you should be careful to write in Adarishan, Adarishan, and in Adarishani, you should write Adarishani to avoid the machlaikis of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda. The other halacha that is pretty accepted by all Paiskim is that obviously, if a child is born in a leap year, so whatever his birthday was in the leap year, that's going to be his bar mitzvah 13 years later. If it's a leap year. But what's going to be the halacha, and if it's not a leap year, there's no question, there's only one other. But what's going to be the halacha if somebody was born in a non-leap year, and his bar mitzvah, 13 years later, is in a leap year? So his bar mitzvah is Adarishan or Adarishani. So the Paiskim all agree that the bar mitzvah is Adarishani. But now the question is a yahrzeit. If somebody has a yahrzeit, so, and the parent died in a non-leap year, and the yahrzeit is now in a leap year, what does he hold? Adarishan or Adarishani? So it actually is machlokes to Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that he holds it in Adarishani. The Ramah paskins that he holds it in Adarishan. There are those that are machmer that keep the yahrzeit both others, even though it could come to serious shilas, because we know that when it comes to chiyuvim, for the Amid, so yahrzeit sometimes has preference over other chiyuvim. But if it's not really the day that he's supposed to hold yahrzeit, let's say somebody follows the opinion of Ramah, and he holds the yahrzeit in Adarishan, and he's also machmet to hold an Adarishani, but there's somebody in the shul who's a real chiyuv, he has no right to take the Amid from that real chiyuv. One thing that you probably could do is the l'chaim you could give him both months. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, kainim yayin sheni tayim at sheya pesach. If somebody made a neder that he's not going to drink wine until Pesach, so we assume that what did this person mean when he made this neder? He meant until Pesach comes. Because obviously the person wants the neder to expire before the Seder, at Shosh Derech Bnei Adam, Lishtos Yayin. Because people, by the Seder, we drink four cups of wine. That's the way the Ran explains the Mishnah. So again, the Ran is explaining that somebody makes the Neder at Shiei HaPesach, he's not going to drink wine. We assume that he means until the Seder, because he wants to be able to drink the Dalet Kaisis. Even though the Ran asks that in the first Mishnah of this Perek, when we had a Neder of at Shiei HaPesach, the Mishnah said it's until Pesach is over. The person wants to drink Dalet Kaisis. So the Ra'ah answers that Mishnah we're going to have to explain is not referring to a nether about wine. It's about a different subject. So there's no strong circumstantial evidence that he needs to have the nether finished before Pesach. There are other Rishonim, however. The Shita quotes other Rishonim who say Pshat in the Mishnah is that even though he made the nether at Shei Pesach about wine, so it leads us to believe that he wants the nether to be over before Pesach, actually, Pesach means until after the first night of Pesach, and he would not be allowed to drink wine for the Dalet Kaisis. But that's not the Peshat that we're going to learn with. Now, he made another neder. A person makes a neder that he's not going to eat meat until the fast. Again, following the explanation of the Ran. The Ran explains what did this person say. But this person says, I'm making it that I'm not going to eat meat until the fast. Which fast? Yom Kippur. We know that Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat. And there's a special mitzvah to eat meat. If you recall, we learned the Gemara Masechta Yuma. The Gemara Masechta Yuma says that normally there's a loch yinala shecht, a mother and his child in the same day. But normally if you buy an animal, you don't have to assume that punct that day, the mother and the child are going to be slaughtered in the same day. On Erev Yom Kippur, where so much meat is consumed, you have to be concerned about it. To prove the meat is eaten on Erev Yom Kippur. So again, says the Ran, what do we say his nether means? We say he certainly meant that his nether should expire before the Suda Mafsekis in order that it should be able to eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur. And again, following the opinion of the Ran, a halacha that we once discussed here, from here we see that even though there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah is only by day, not the night of Erev Yom Kippur. Otherwise, why are we waiting to say that the nether only expires in the afternoon of Erev Yom Kippur? Maybe it's already by night. So from here we see that the main mitzvah to eat is on Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon. That's the way the Ran explains the Mishnah. And what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Mishnah is teaching us that not only Dalet Kaisis, which is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, even eating meat, because even though there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, you don't necessarily have to eat meat. You could eat something else. Still, since everybody eats, as we said, meat on Erev Yom Kippur, that's what he must have meant. That's the Ran's explanation in the Mishnah. The Shita, following his opinion in the previous case, again says, L'chumra, that even though we would assume that the person meant that the nether should expire before Yom Kippur, so he should be able to eat meat, since it's not the technical wording, we won't let him eat meat till after Yom Kippur. The Rosh Hashanah has a third explanation of the Mishnah. Very interesting explanation of the Rosh Hashanah. He says it's not referring only to Yom Kippur. It's referring to every fast day. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that they typically, before a fast day, ate big meals, so they should be able to fast the next day. And what the Mishnah is saying is that let's say tomorrow is a fast day, and I made a fast that I'm not going to eat till the fast. It must be that tonight I'm going to eat meat in order that I should be able to have a good meal before tomorrow's fast. Which the Shailos Tshuvos B'Tzeila Chochma uses La'aloch L'maisam. There's a very interesting Eliyahu Rabbah, which is actually quoted by the Kaf HaChayim, who says that it's inappropriate to eat a large meal, a large supper, the night before a fast. Because even though you're not violating the letter of the law, he says you're violating the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is that you should fast. But if I'm going to eat a large supper tonight, so tomorrow's fast is not going to be very difficult for me. According to the Rosh Hashanah's explanation of the Mishnah, says the B'Tzeila Chochma, that's exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us. That if you're fasting tomorrow, I'm sure you meant that you should be able to eat meat tonight, so you should get a good supper before the fast. We see that you are allowed to eat a good meal before the fast. Continues the Mishnah. Rav Yosef ben Noaimer, Koinem Shun. If somebody makes a neder that he's not going to eat garlic, Shani Toyim Atshe Shabbos until Shabbos, and also Ella Ad Leila Shabbos. He may his nether expires Friday night. For again, Shloneskaven Zeh Ella Ad Shaw Shederek Bnei Adam Lechel Bashon. As we learned, one of the takonis that Ezra made was that people should eat garlic Friday night. The reason being, because Friday night is a night that husbands are supposed to have relations with their wives, and garlic makes the man more potent. So Ezra made it the corner that garlic should be eaten Friday night. So here too we assume that he made this nether, he meant that it should expire before Friday night, that he should be able to eat his Friday night garlic. The Rishonim debate, what is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion in this case? Because it's interesting. The first two cases of the Mishnah were halachas quoted by Rabbi Yehuda. Here we have Rabbi Yossi saying the din. So many Rishonim explain, it's only Rabbi Yossi that says it, not Rabbi Yehuda. Because obviously eating garlic is not the biggest mitzvah in the world. So here Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that just because he should be able to eat garlic, we assume he certainly wanted the nether to be over by Friday night, is a stretch. It's only Rabbi Yossi that says it. Other Rishonim say, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda was referring to the cases that he was referring to. Rabbi Yossi is referring to the cases that he's referring to, but there isn't necessarily a halachic disagreement. Says the Mishnah, and we learned these cases at the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Chavov. Hoyim l'chaveiroi, somebody tells his friend, Koinim sh'ani ne'och, I will never have any benefit from you. Im ein at above a noitel benecha, if you won't come and take from me for your son. And all, most Rishonim explain, he doesn't really mean his son. Just a nice way of saying, I've had, this is the way we explain on Daf Chavev, I've had a lot of benefit from you. And I feel very bad that I always received and I never gave. So how do I have an opportunity to, so to speak, even things out? I tell you, I will never have any benefit from you if you don't come and take kur echad shel chitim, a kur of wheat, v'shtei chaviyah shel yayin, and 2 barrels of wine. Hareze yochel hofes nidroi shlo yapi chacham. The person who I said this nether to you, that I will never benefit from you unless you take from me, has a way of having the nether annulled. But the Rishonim point out, it's not hatorah. Hatorah, we know when a chacham does hatorah, the nether is annulled from its inception. This is more like hafara, which a husband does, that from here on in, the nether is considered no longer valid. B'yomaloi, my friend who I insisted, and I made a nether to the fact, must take something from me, could say to me, klum amarta elam ne kvaydi. The only reason you said it is because you wanted to show some honor to me. You didn't always want to take from me, you wanted to give me. Zer kvaydi. It's my covet, kilu his kabalti. It's a covet to me that I don't have to take. You're so insistent on taking, and for me it's a covet that I could, Baruch Hashem, say, you know what? I don't need it. And that's considered that the nether was fulfilled. There's an interesting shaila in the Rajba. Here we're saying that even though you didn't get it, it's considered like, by saying kilu eskabalti, it's like you got it. The Rashba says the following. Let's say I make a nether that I won't benefit from you if you go to this and this place. And then you go. Could I say it's kilu lo halachta? Just like saying, I make a nether, if you're going to receive something, even though you didn't receive it, kilu eskabalti, the halacha looks at it as if you did receive it. How does the halacha, could the halacha also say that even though you did something, the halacha should be able to say it's as if it didn't happen? So we have machlokes Rashba and Ran. The Rashba seems to say you can say it even on that. Most Rishonim say you can't make something happen, make believe as if it didn't happen. If it happened, it happened. This concept of kilu eskabalti is very, very relevant to Hilchos Shaloch Manos. The question is, if I send Shaloch Manos to someone else, and he says, kilu eskabalti, he sends it back to me, he says, it's as if I got the Shaloch Manos. Was I mekayem the mitzvah or not? And the basis of the Shaila really revolves around what is the point of Shaloch Manos, which is a machloikus ha'achroinim. Some achroinim say that the point of Shaloch Manos is to help you have food for the Sudas Purim. And that's why many people are makbid to send for Shaloch Manos such foods that could be served at the Sudas Purim. So saying kilu eskabalti doesn't help, because I have to give you something that you could actually use for the Suda. But if the point of Shalach Manas is to bring goodwill between people, so if I send you Shalach Manas and you know that I was thinking of you and I sent you Shalach Manas, even if you send it back, but the goodwill was already engendered just by me having sent you the Shalach Manas, and that's why it's considered you a Mekayim the Mitzvah. And some Paiskim want to suggest that the wording of the Mitzvah points in that direction, because it's not called, it's called Mishloach Manas. It's not called Kabbalah Manas, it's called Mishloach. As soon as I send you the Manas, even if you don't necessarily receive it, we will Mekayim the Mitzvah. Continues the Mishnah. V'kein ha'omel chaveiroi. Here we have the opposite situation. Somebody says to his colleague, "Koyim shen ein atnasli." I feel being taken advantage of, and I feel that you're always taking from me and never giving me. So I tell you, I won't have any benefit from you. Im ein at above a noisin labonai, unless you give my children kosh lachit v'shtei chavish shayin. May Omer also achieitin. Here we can't say kilas kabalti. Until I actually receive it, my children receive it, it's not going to be considered that the nadu was fulfilled. There's machloikus rishonim. Will Rameyer also disagree in the previous case? Or maybe there Rameyer does agree with the concept of kilas kabalti. I could say, even though I insisted that you have to give a gift to my children, I could then say it's as if they got it. However, Durant says, this would only be effective if my children are being supported by me. So by me saying kilus kabalti, I have the right to say it. But if my children aren't supported by me, and they're supposed to receive something, I can't say kilus kabalti on behalf of someone who I'm not even supporting. Hoy masarboy lost a space achoysoy. They were asking somebody to marry his niece. And the Rishonim say from here we see that there is an inyan to marry one's niece. Niece meaning a sister's daughter. Why? Because one is because a person is supposed to care about his family, and if his sister has a daughter, he should be concerned that she should be able to get married, and the best way of taking care of it is by marrying her. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says, Roy Bonim Achar Achil Eim. Most children are similar to a mother's brother. So my sister's daughter is going to be very similar to me. So it's a good marriage. It's going to be a good match. On the other hand, marrying Bas Ochiv, your brother's daughter, is inappropriate. Why is it inappropriate? Because Chas v'Shalom, if this person marries his brother's daughter, and then they don't have any children, she won't be able to have Yibum, because Yibum will be with her father. So don't marry your father's, don't marry your brother's daughter. Even though the Tzavas of Yudah Chas, even though we just explained that there is a point in marrying a niece, a sister's daughter, Rav Yudah Chas says that one should not marry a sister's daughter in the Tzavos of Yudah Chassid, even though our Mishnah says differently. So the two pshatim, how to understand what Yudah Chassid means. One is, this is said many times regarding things said in the Tzavah of Yudah Chassid. Yudah Chassid knew that for his descendants, a match between an uncle and a niece will not be a successful marriage. And that's why he told his descendants, avoid this type of a marriage. Another pshat is that if one is marrying l'shem shamayim, so it's very worthwhile, it's very appropriate to marry a niece. But we know that not everybody gets married as has such pure motives. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Chassid said, if it's not going to be completely l'shem shamayim, it's better not to marry a niece. So how am I misabar las b'chos chosay? A person is being asked to marry his niece. V'am akonim shin menes lil oilam. I'm never going to have any benefit with her. V'kenem agaris ishtoy. And we know, typically, when a couple gets divorced, they're not getting along that well. And he says, even though he used these wordings, it doesn't mean that they're not allowed to have any benefit from each other. Because all he meant was, so it was just a way of expressing his refusal to marry this woman, or his refusal to remain married to his wife. My friend is asking me and asking me to come eat by him. And I make a nether because I don't want to go. And I say, I'm not walking into your house. tipas feinen shani time loch. I'm not even going to drink a cup of water. The loch is mutal lekanas lebeisai or lishtas mamanetzon. I could walk into the house. I could drink a drop of water, because really all I meant was, I meant that I don't want to join you for the meal. I didn't mean that I want to completely sever any ties with you. Although there is a machlokes rishonim, would I be allowed to go into your house to eat a meal? Maybe not a banquet, but be allowed to go into a meal. Some say since the wording of the nether was totally incorrect, there is no nether, and I could go to your house even for a banquet. Others say that for a banquet I would not be allowed to go, because we know that's what he meant with the nether, and therefore he has a nether on him to prevent him from eating a banquet. What he's allowed to go do is take a cup of water or take a small snack. Hadron loch kanim yayin, hadron loch kanim yayin, hadron loch kanim yayin.